Hey everybody, thank you for being on here, being a part of this call today. I think, as usual, going into one of these very exciting Brooklyn and the Barclays Center and at SummerSlam for NXT TakeOver has become kind of a little bit of a feeling of our WrestleMania. I feel like it's kind of the end of the season and the start of the season all at the same time, much like WrestleMania is in some way. So it's this is a very exciting moment for us, as I talked about months ago, kind of reinvigorating the brand and to me getting it back firing on all cylinders, and I feel like that's where we are now. And coming out of this, I'm really anxious to get on the other side of it and really get things rolling. A lot of good stuff in store. And also today we can talk about the Mae Young Classic, which will begin airing shortly here. The Bracketology show airing after SummerSlam and going forward from that, and then September 12th being the finale in Las Vegas. So excited to talk about that as well. That was an amazing experience. So hopefully there'll be some questions about that. I would like to start off talking and just quickly putting out my thoughts and prayers for Ric Flair. You know, Ric, I know. Don't need to say too much about it other than he's one of my best friends and, you know, has been a large part of my career, idol, mentor. But it's been a rough week. Been a rough week for him, for his family. My thoughts and prayers go out to his family. And hopefully, one thing I know about Ric, he isn't going to go down without a fight. So he's a fighter and we'll hopefully... Hopefully we'll be watching him strut down the aisle again real soon. But with that, I will open up the call to questions.
Guys, usual rule applies. Keep it to one question and one follow-up, please, per outlet.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Once again, that is star 1 if you have a question today. We'll go to Mike Johnson, PWInsider.com.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
Just strange.
There goes another 5 minutes.
Yeah. I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry, Adam. There's been a lot of talk lately about different independent wrestling promoters and bookers being around Full Sail. Dave Prazak was at the Mae Young Classic. There's been talk about Gabe Sapolsky working in some sort of position with NXT. The guys from Progress are down in Florida right now. Can you clear the air as to what sort of relationship there is officially with these different promoters and bookers? Are they working as consultants? Are they joining NXT Creative? Are they just there as part of the working agreement you have with these different groups? Or is it kind of to be determined? Where does all this kind of fit in right now? And I guess my follow-up, which I'll ask too, is how much of this of these relationships have added to the creative process of NXT, because as you've mentioned, it, you're kind of happy with it now. That's been an ongoing discussion amongst these calls in recent months. And I feel like the cupboard's kind of full right now, and you've got a lot more leeway to play with creatively. So are they involved in this at all?
Yeah, so here's the thing on all that. First of all, the Progress guys are where? That's terrible.
I had heard they were in Florida.
No, they are. Look, so... As part of, to me, of this sort of opening up and working with others and kind of getting a feel for what's going on there, as I've said before, in a lot of manners, I want to work with guys that are, or guys or groups or organizations that are in the kind of the business of cultivating talent and not just putting on shows and not just putting on an event. And, you know, selling some tickets and moving on and just bring in whoever. People that are interested in cultivating talent and helping to push their careers along and to move them along and to do those things. And I feel like there's an opportunity on both sides, not only to get a feel for what each other does and you know, from their point of view to learn how WWE does things, from my point of view to learn how they do things. I think there's an opportunity, always an opportunity to learn. I don't look at it and think there's just one way of doing things. But then, you know, if they're learning things from us of how we look at things and how we want talent to be and kind of how we're looking for them to kind of what the things are important for us for them to be excel at, it helps them as they're cultivating talent. It helps them grow their business. Our support helps them grow their business, which in turn helps support a feeder system for us. I think it's important to have. You mentioned Dave Prezak. Like, he's one of the guys that has been kind of supportive of women in the business and kind of doing what we do for a long period of time. I felt like it was important for him to be there. Did I have to bring him in? No. Did I have to have him there? No. But like I brought him in, and there was a moment in time where we had a meeting, and I said, "Hey, is Dave Prezak here?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "I have to ask him to come in here for a minute." And I asked him to look at something, and he looked at me like I had, like I was out of my mind. Like, I think he was waiting for the sword to hit him in the head or something like that. Like, it just, well, you want my opinion, you know? And I was like, yeah, dude, you work with these people, right? Like, I have an understanding, and we've been working really hard on this tournament, but here's where we are, and you work with these girls all the time, and I was, yeah, give me what's your opinion? I'm not saying I'm going to do it. I'm just asking you your opinion. And, you know, all of that to me is important. You know, I know there was there's been a lot of speculation about Gabe Sapolsky. I like Gabe. I've liked what he does. I think he's a smart guy that helps to get talent going in their careers and is a great place for them to work, and he's cultivating talent. It's an opportunity when I have an opportunity for him to be around us and learn from us, and I can bring him in and see how his mind works and think and all. It's good for everybody. The progress guys, the same thing. You know, all those opportunities are great to have. Are they driving anything in particular? No. Are they a large part of it? We'll wait and see. You know, if that's great, I'm a big believer in talent. I don't care who they are and where they come from, any of it. If I feel like somebody is a talent that can add to our product, that can add to enjoyment for fans and can help, yeah, I want to work with that person, and I want to help them be able to do the same. So that's kind of where we're at with it, and if that answered your question.
I mean, other than me saying, are these guys officially employed by the company or not, which I don't think you're going to answer, I think you covered everything.
Yeah, I don't look at it as officially employed, not necessarily. Do I, you know, I'm not asking them to come and do things and be a part of things without some kind of, you know, us taking care of them. But like at the same point, there's no official employee status, there's no anything like that for the most part, where these guys are being around what we do. There's a shared mutual love of the business that we all share, and we're trying to kind of in some way accomplish the same thing. So I kind of feel like that working together helps rise the tide.
Understand completely. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Next up from the Independent UK is Matt Paddock.
Hey, Matt.
Good evening, Paul. Thanks for your time. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Thank you. Not too bad. I just wanted to look ahead to NXT TakeOver with you and just sort of NXT more broadly, really. Just thinking, if you could take the process back almost 25 years, really, with your Triple H head on at the start of your career, and keep your current head on at the same time in amongst that, and sort of pitch a program, if you like, for a young Triple H entering into the NXT setup. The talent is so varied with these young guys at the moment and what they're capable of doing in and out of the ring. How would you like a young Triple H at the start of his career to sort of fit in with that NXT journey? Because there's so much available for these young guys now.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say, you know. There's so many guys that are talented, women as well, that are talented, and there's a lot of opportunities. They're all at various levels, and some have been in the business for a long time. Doesn't necessarily mean they're more ready. It means they have more experience, contrary to some beliefs. You know, length of time does not – it just means you're more comfortable sometimes because you've been doing it, but sometimes those habits become harder to break. Bad habits or whatever, you know, the opportunities there. I look at everything from that fresh slate of, that's how I develop the performance center. What, if I was walking in the door today, what would I want? What would I need? What would I want somebody to put in front of me to be able to succeed? What would be the things that would make it easier for me? The other thing is when you're in developmental, and again, whether it's somebody that's been in the business for 15 years or 5 days, you put opportunities in front of them. And then what they do with that opportunity is up to them and their skill level. Sometimes you put people on live events and they excel, and then you put them in a dark magic TV and they do all right. So then you hold them off a little bit, and or you put them on and it's for real and you're recording it for something and you see how they do and it does okay, but it's not everything it could be, and so you wait, right? It's a waiting game at that level, and kind of trying to constantly gauge where people are, what they're ready for, and then not only who they get in the ring with and who they work with, but who can then help them get to another level. If you're just putting in there, you know, two talent that don't necessarily, that are still trying to figure it out for themselves, it's a lot more difficult than maybe somebody who excels a little bit more at this, working with somebody who's a little greener that can help them kind of morph and get over that hump and really get them onto something. It's how we look at pairing people together. Sometimes we have a talent that doesn't have a lot of charisma, so we pair them with somebody that does in a team in hopes that one brings it out of the other one. And, you know, all those things. It's a giant puzzle. You have to look at where all the pieces fit, you know.
That's great. Thanks. I just wanted to switch gears ever so quickly just with regards to the Mae Young Classic, obviously, which is causing a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
WWE as a platform, if you like, has done more for women in wrestling than I can remember over the last couple of years than many companies for many, many years. Is it the case for you that you think that not just WWE, but wrestling in general could have done this a little bit sooner for girls and for ladies? Or is it just the case that in terms of ingredients and in terms of technology and assets, is it just the right time now for these girls to be taking it to the right level?
Yeah, I think it's the right time. Look, could they have done it? I don't know. I mean, you could debate that all day. Could we have done this 5 years ago? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure what people were willing to accept. You know, I think you see that in a lot of sports. You see that in a lot of entertainment components. You know, all of a sudden you see you know, Wonder Woman movies coming out and women superheroes and the women are the super, or the, you know, even if it's not a female superhero movie, the woman ends up being the hero in the end. You see a lot of that in entertainment right now. I think that's the acceptability of it to, I guess, the general populace in some way, I guess. I don't know. You know, I've thought it for a long time. All I know is the time is right. And the more we seem to be doing it and the more we seem to be giving it to people, the more they seem to be asking for and the more excited they are by it. And I can tell you right now, you know, when we started out with the Mae Young Classic, the concept of it, which obviously at the time wasn't called the Mae Young Classic, but when we started out with the concept of it, I pitched it, took a while to get accepted. The thought was, I'll probably do this with 16 women and try to make it very elite, right? And upper deck and as we started to dig and watch more footage and watch more stuff on people and really dig into it, we started realizing, wow, there's a lot more women. Like, I can make this much bigger. I can do this with 32 and have it be really solid quality and all that. So then, you know, we decided to do it, and I was really excited about it. And we picked the 32, and quite honestly, there was a lot more out there that I thought it was hard to make the decisions of who should go in this and who shouldn't go in this. And, you know, but we get to the tournament, and I expected this to be really good. I did. And I was blown away by it. You know, we got to the end and, you know, Shawn was there. Shawn Michaels was there. And, Shawn was like, he's like, oh my dude, I'm speechless. Like when that thing was over the second day, there was a lot of people there that worked with us behind the scenes from my tech people and all that stuff that, when it was over said, I think that was better than the Cruiserweight tournament. I'm telling you this. I'm really excited about this. I'm really excited about this to come out. I'm really excited about the opportunity. I said it then, and to me, it bears repeating. These are all women that got into the business for the same reasons I did, and probably everybody else did. Is they at some point in time earlier in their life they saw this, thought it was the greatest thing they'd ever seen from an entertainment standpoint, thought I got to do this right, and then ended up down that road. And I think for a lot of these women, it was the same thing. Whatever they saw, however it was, they thought, man, I have to do this. Except for the guys, there's always like this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow of opportunity, you know, and whether that be WWE or, you know, but there's just this big pot of gold at the end where you can be successful and it can be life altering and it can be all these things. Didn't exist for the women. You know, they got on that rainbow and rode it and took that journey with no pot of gold at the end. They just went for the ride and thought it was the greatest thing ever and had to do it. But there wasn't a whole lot in it for them. And to be honest, even when they were going to these indie shows, it was hard for us to find footage on some of these women, as good as they are, to find meaningful footage of them, because they'd worked a show here and they were a valet because there wasn't another woman working with them on the show, or there was a match here or a match there. Right? The opportunities were very, very few and far between and limited. And, look, I'm thrilled to be able to say that now you jump on that journey. If this is what you want to do, and for a lot of those girls that are in this right now, there's a lot of little girls that are going to sit out there and they're going to watch this and go, I got to do this. And they're going to know now that there's a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow for them, and that opportunity is there in a different way than it's ever existed before. To me, that's the coolest part of that. And we put that responsibility on these girls that are in this tournament and that opportunity, and they killed it. They knocked it out of the park. So I'm excited to show this to the world. I'm really, this is one that I think at the end of it, I'm really going to be proud of. Proud of all the girls that were in it, for sure. I can't wait for the world to see it.
Thanks very much for your time tonight. All the very best this weekend, and I'm sure everyone else would echo these sentiments, and our thoughts are with yourself, Rick, and his family as well. We're all thinking of him. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Next up is Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer.
Paul, how are you doing?
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
You know, a tough week, but it's, you know, it's going well. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the tournament, the women's tournament. I had a couple questions about it. I guess, like, the first one is, you know, you're doing it like in a binge thing. I think is it like August 28th, you're releasing 4 or 5 shows, and then September 4th, you know, 4 or 5 shows, and then the live finals. Is there any reason why you're doing it this way as opposed to like with the cruiserweights, where you had a weekly 1-hour show in a certain time period on the network?
Yeah, so I think this is a little bit of an experiment on our part to see, you know, the world is changing, Dave, right? And I mean, you know this, and the way people are watching TV, my kids. My kids are 11, 9, and 7, and the concept to them that something airs at a particular time, unless it's live, like, they don't get it. They're just like, why can't I just watch it when I want to watch it? It's a different world. They're on the internet watching things, and with the network, you have the ability to do that. What we found with the Cruiserweight thing is, as much as people loved the tournament and they loved all of it, a little bit of some of it started to wane as you got into the later weeks. People have busy lives, right? And appointment television, there's a lot of stuff to watch. And now, especially, you know, it's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, if you watch NXT, like, there's a lot of stuff there. And even with NXT, it airs in a particular time slot, but the majority of people watch it within, like, the first 7 days. They watch that episode, they watch it during the week, but they watch it when they want to watch it. This was it's a little bit of an experiment to rather than to watch it wane and try to hold people's attention for that long a period of time, is to get out there in a big way, get people excited about it, put out the bracketology show, get people really excited about it, put it out there, put that first round out there in a 4-week kind of a run. You got a week to watch 4 hours of that and really get into it and find it exciting. The rest of it takes place, you know, comes out the following week, and you can binge watch it, much like Netflix does with House of Cards or something like that, and they put it out in chunks, and a lot of people sit home and, you know, order food or whatever and just watch the whole season, right, and then in a couple of days. And I think that's what people are going to do here. I think they're going to be really into it. I think they're going to kind of enjoy it all at once. And then while it's hot and fresh in your mind in this couple-week span, and we're going to go right into that live show in Vegas and build that up and really make a big deal out of it and kind of determine the winner and really make a big deal out of it. And I feel like it's a huge deal, and I feel like this is a big moment not only for women in general, but women in our industry. And I think we're finding a lot of support outside of the kind of WWE world as well, from a celebrity and an influencer standpoint. There's a lot of interest around this, so it's kind of cool. But I'm interested to see how that does in this binge format. I think it's going to be a cool thing.
You know, that just brings something up. On the Vegas show, are you going to have, like, I know you're going to have the championship match, but are you going to have It's going to be like a one-hour show of all women, and how does that relate to 205 Live that day? So what kind of like, what's the plan? Or is it just going to be the one match, and then you go right into 205 Live?
I'm not 100% sure from a programming standpoint where they've netted out on that. Like, that's not necessarily my decision, right? I think we're working on it. My intent, as far as the Mae Young Classic itself goes, my intent is to make a big production around that one big final, match, and do a really big build to that. If I'm asked to present something else there that day, great. As far as where 205 Live goes, I'm not sure if that takes place after. I'm not sure exactly where they've netted out on that yet. But I just know I'm excited about that opportunity that day, and for the women that make it to the finals, and for all of them, because the truth is it showcases all of them. And I think even if you don't catch the tournament and you watch that final live, it's going to make you want to go back and watch how they got there. So I think it's going to be very cool. But they're kind of still working on all the logistics of it.
And real quick also, do you have like an idea of, and I don't know if you have a direct number, but kind of like how many of these women you think you're going to sign, and also is there any thought of doing, I know like the cruiserweight thing spawned a television show, 205 Live.
Yeah.
You obviously have women's divisions in Raw and SmackDown and NXT, so but is there thoughts of a women's only television show given the amount of talent that you have that you probably surprisingly found out of this tournament?
Yeah, look, I think I would never say never. I think you could end up there. I think we're experimenting with a lot of different things right now as far as programming and the way things work, to see as the world changes and as the viewing habits of the world shift and move. Everybody's trying to figure that all out of how those shows look and operate. I will say that I feel like the women, the opportunity is a bit different, because like while cruiserweights, it was easy to separate them out and make their own show. With the women, you have hopefully a lot of opportunity for a lot of these women on Raw and SmackDown to beef up those rosters, on NXT to beef up that roster. As we continue to move down the road, hopefully, and you know, it's still the work and the intent in progress. It's just unfortunately in the real world of television at the level that we're at, things take time to come to be. But in the UK as well, the intent there would be to have, as we do localized content, to be able to put women there and have them everywhere, the same opportunity as the men, be everywhere that it is. So I don't know if they need their own specific show to say, hey, here's where the women are cultivated. I think as long as those opportunities are everywhere, then I don't know that they need their own separate thing. I almost feel like that makes it less than for them.
Okay, thanks very much, and just want to send my best wishes to you and everything as far as Rick goes and all that.
Yeah, thanks. As you said, it's been a rough week, but we'll get through it and never count the Nates down.
Yeah, never count them out. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question will come from Vicente Diaz, Mundo Deportivo.
Hey, Vicente.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
I'm great. Yourself?
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Very good. Thank you. I want to ask you about what you said just right before WrestleMania when we were visiting the PC, about the 40% more or less of the athletes at the PC are from international. But we are still missing some Spanish wrestlers in WWE. Can you tell us if there's any plans for the future or any tryout maybe during the next European tour in November?
Yeah, look, we're constantly looking. We're constantly trying to find talent and recruiting from everywhere globally. It's one of those things that you try to find the best talent you can everywhere in the world. Just because we go into a region looking for talent doesn't mean we're going to find what we need. We're working on it. I would like to have talent representing every place in the world. Easier said than done. But it's definitely something that we're working on and constantly in an effort to grow.
And just one more. I could ask you about last time we talked about the possibility of having an NXT show in Spain. And I'm sorry, I have to ask you again the same question. You told me that was all about logistics and the financial consideration. Is there any changes regarding this matter and any hopes for us, any new hopes?
Look, always, you can always hope. I would hope to be able to do that myself. I think it just nets out, you know, when you're running a global live event business of over 500 events and trying to figure out where all of them go and what the opportunities are and working with different partners and promoters internationally and every place else, we have to go where it makes the most sense for us. It is definitely something that we're trying to get to. They just haven't been able to finalize anything yet.
Well, thank you so much for the time once again, and see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is Jim Varsalone, Miami Herald.
Yeah, Paul.
Hey, Jim.
It's interesting because on the SummerSlam card, it appears to be that there's at least one NXT alum in every match. And I just wanted to know your thoughts of just, geez, this development process, Performance Center, I mean, that would tell me it's working really well. What are your thoughts about the process?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think when you look at 80% of the main roster right now coming out of that process and that system, and, you know, in some ways you can look at it and, you know, I hear people go, oh, well, they take guys from the indies or whatever and guys that have more experience and, you know, yeah, we still have to cultivate that and do all the things and teach them how to do television, but we have also created the Braun Strowmans and the Baron Corbins and the people that came from nothing, you know, that had no experience, the Alexa Blisses and people like that, Nia Jax, all of them, you know, even Charlotte at some point, you know, like that's just stuff that came in with zero and the potential and the ability and hopefully the talent, and we were able to cultivate into something more. I'm really proud of that. Like I can look at it and say, like, that it did what it was supposed to do, and I'm glad that it did, because if it didn't and you took that number away, even if you took it away in a small percentage, it really affects the product. And the fact that you can split the rosters, still have a fairly strong number of talent on all brands, including NXT, you know, have stuff sitting waiting in the UK. Like, there's just a lot of talent and a lot of reasons why the Performance Center and the system is working. Is it everything that I want it to be? No, it never will be. I'm always going to want it to be better and be more and to be able to do things and prepare people differently. And, you know, at the end of the day, we prep them the best we can and we give them the opportunity when the time is right. And then what they do with it in some ways is up to us, but in some ways, a lot of ways, is up to them. And they have to be able to deliver, and that becomes a different prospect. Not everybody that... You can be the best college football player in the world. You can win the Heisman Trophy, and then you can get drafted early, and then you can go to the pros and then not make it. Why? You know, there's a lot of factors. So it's no different in what we do. You try to make everybody and give them the opportunity to be the absolute best that they can be, give them the tools in which to succeed, and then you got to set them free and let them go do what they do in a bigger way. How we handle that on the main roster is part of it. How they handle that on the main roster is another part of it. So, but to answer the question, I'm thrilled with the process and I'm thrilled with where we're at. I think it would be hard to say otherwise.
And then in that process, to follow up with that, obviously the process is training, NXT, main roster. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't for whatever reason. Are there any thoughts of, well, you know what, maybe we'll bring somebody back to NXT and help build talent that way, or no, once you're on the main roster, that's pretty much it?
No, look, talent's talent. Like, just because a guy, look, Jinder Mahal, Drew McIntyre, those are all prime examples of people that came up, you know, people say, like, right now, like, oh, Jinder, all of a sudden they make him this. Well, no, we always thought he had that potential to be that. He was one of the last two guys in the finals for me at the first to determine the first NXT champion. People forget that. You know, I thought he had that ability, right? He came up to the main roster. Things didn't pan out the way we wanted them to pan out. He, you know, you can talk to him about that. He'll kind of give you his take on it too as well. part of that's him, part of that's us, part of them being not ready for it. Drew McIntyre, same thing, right? Nothing always goes the way you plan it, but then you take them out of the environment. When those guys both left, I said, look, go figure some things out, take your time, mature, be ready for the opportunity, because when it comes back, you want to be able to kill it, and they both have. And I think that's great. Sometimes they just got to leave and go other places and realize the message that they're hearing was right or whatever. You know, you got to rebuild. And to me, if that's an opportunity now as this system evolves of taking somebody that's either not panned out on the main roster or has panned out even on the main roster but has been there for a long period of time, and you say, you know, look, you've done everything you can kind of for now, and we're going to take you off. Rather than them not being here, it's like, okay, we're gonna bring you over to the UK for a little while, or we're going to bring you down to NXT and run do a little run there, freshen you up a little bit, bring you back. I think those opportunities are there in some way for everybody on the roster to be able to move around and be able to do the things that are meaningful, whether main roster, whether NXT, whether, you know, localized someplace else where they can go teach other people, learn themselves, and sometimes taking a step back out of it makes you realize things that you had forgotten or that you go like, I don't do that anymore at all. I got to get myself back in gear. And it's real easy to, in this industry where you do things every single day over and over, you know, to become Groundhog's Day and to start becoming complacent where you're at and just going through the motions as opposed to being hungry and driving for it and wanting it. And sometimes stepping out of it is the best way to realize you need to reinvigorate your passion and get back in there and dig in, you know.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, guys, this next outlet will be the last one for the call. Thank you.
And our final question comes from Scott Fishman, Channel Guide.
Hey, Scott.
Oh, man, that's a lot of pressure. Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Yeah, it's got to be a good one now, right? Like everybody's hanging on you.
I guess because you haven't really spoke too much about it, just the overall card of this NXT Brooklyn, you mentioned in a lot of the promos that this is a homecoming in many ways. Could you just touch on what that will mean as far as going with that theme and also just the card in general with Drew McIntyre headlining, someone who's getting the second chance against Bobby Roode, another guy who has really taken the opportunity to run with the ball and represent himself the way he has?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the premise for me, and a little bit of this is as we get into the third year of coming to Barclays Center in Brooklyn and it kind of being a home for us and NXT really kind of, I don't know, in some way jumping on the face of, wow, this is really something big here, was that first year in Brooklyn. It is kind of a homecoming. And as we were looking at getting closer to this event, the number of main roster talent that were coming up to us that had, when you talk about the rosters and 80% of them coming out of the system, were coming up to us and saying, hey, can I come Saturday night and can I be a part of it? And could I do, I don't know, could I be on the pre-show or could I sit in the crowd or could I do this? And they want to be involved in it. They want to kind of put their thumbprint back on what they did and how much fun they had there. And that's really cool. And it kind of felt like it was this homecoming for everybody almost. Like that Saturday at Barclays is this big opportunity for everybody to come back kind of in a way back to NXT and feel like they're back a part of this home deal. And in another way for Drew McIntyre, I feel like it's a kind of a homecoming too. And I think that sort of resonates with the card. I'm excited about this card. I feel like there's a big build on it. And, you know, Bobby Roode kind of spending the year as being this sort of dominant, pompous champion and making it his brand. And, you know, Drew coming in as the new guy, wanting to kind of put it back to the We Are NXT. And Ember and Asuka this, just this is the same as we say all the time, a different level of performer just because she's so different. But Ember, who's really, really come into her own in the last 6 months and is poised and ready, you know, and in some ways is poised and ready to be the one that carries it beyond. So, you know, that's exciting. I think when you see the turn that Hideo Itami has had, and I feel for the guy with all the starts and stops he's had, not due to anybody other than his physical, you know, things just happened, right? But the starts and stops, and I feel us with this kind of attitude turn of him has really put him into a position that he's really thriving in. Then again, you have Aleister Black, who I feel like has just come in with a look and a feel and a character that's something totally different than we've seen in a long time, and has really sort of step by step, slowly but surely, coming into his own as a player that you just can't see a ceiling on. And the Authors of Pain, as probably one of the most dominant tag teams from just a sheer size and power and everything that they bring to the table. But when you put them up against Sanity, it's a different thing with Killian and Alexander Wolf. It's just a different feel. And with Eric Young guiding that, there's a, you know, kind of the unstoppable force, immovable object. And then Andrade Almas to kind of reboot him, and where he's at with Zelina coming in next to him and kind of the refresh and restart of him going down a road, but also then the return of probably one of the favorite players on the entire roster of Johnny Gargano. To me, that's it's like an intriguing match of just, I want to see that match. I want to see, can Gargano start this run of his singles career? Can Andrade continue down the path of reinventing himself that he's on? That's not even talking about all the other talent that we have that aren't even on this card, you know. And that's what's so exciting right now to me, I feel, about NXT. I'm not even bringing up, you know, the other women. I'm not even bringing up Roderick Strong. I'm not even bringing up Ono or, you know, the UK talent who will be there in Brooklyn. The other talent that we have that are coming in the door. The Kyle O'Reillys, the Bobby Fishes, everybody else is walking through, and NXT really is this hotbed and place to be. Man, it's an exciting time. This card to me, again, and I'll say it again, is we've rebooted and we're where we're at, and but this is kind of like the finish of that season. We're ending on a high note, but we're also, I feel like we're starting a new season and really kicking things into high gear. And I think when you see that split, you see where this goes. Coming into the fall and everything else, it's going to be hot.
And you mentioned this being kind of like an end of the year, start of the year type thing. When you sit down with Vince McMahon and you go over the year that was and all the progress, what are his thoughts about how things have been moving along and maybe watching whatever he has of the product? Is there someone that he has become a fan of from watching?
Yeah, I think there's excitement. There's... There's a lot of talent that he, on the occasional basis, will say, where are you at with this person? When do I get him? You know what I mean? It's my job to then creatively work with the team, both main roster and my own team, to say when is the right strategic time to put that person into the right place that they need to go to, so that they have the best opportunity in front of them, and to make sure they're ready. And it's funny because, you know, that you – sometimes I'll see people think or say like, oh my God, this person has been so ready for so long. They don't know the things that they're missing that we can see from our side of it to say, look, I need you another 3 months, and this is what I really need you to focus on, because I don't want you to fail on this one piece when you get up there, or whatever that is. You know, there's a lot of components that go into this, and yeah, we have those conversations, and he gives me the opinion and the stuff, and then he listens to my opinion too. Sometimes there's things that he sees on the show and he goes, well, I really like this guy. And I'm like, you know, he's talking about doing something with him right away. And I'm like, well, hold on, we're really protecting that person on TV. That's our job, right? We're really protecting what they do to make them succeed where they are, but give them that opportunity at the same point in time to continue to grow, so they have the opportunity to do that down the line. And to protect them. So he relies on us heavily as well to say, look, this is where they're at in the process. They need more time to bake. They need more time to do this. I want it to be the best it possibly can be, not only for the roster, for Raw, for SmackDown, whatever that is. I want it to be the best it can be for any of these talent. And, you know, I want them all to succeed at the biggest level that they can. Granted, they can't all do that. They're all not going to be the main event of WrestleMania. But I want them to all have the opportunity when they move up in the roster, because when they're given whatever it is, whether the opportunity is big or small, they take advantage of it and they knock it out of the park. As long as we give them the tools to do that, then, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to be a part of the call and for your patience today. We appreciate it.
Yep, thank you, guys. I'm sorry about the delays on everything, but again, as I said, that's a little bit of the old SummerSlam week. Thank you for everything. Hopefully everybody that's going to get a chance to see NXT TakeOver is going to enjoy it. The Mae Young Classic after that, I'm telling you, I really believe, and I think it's going to be something special. And, again, one last time, shout out to Rick, and get well soon.